What is it, pro nerds? Welcome back to another episode of The Last Word right here on Project Nerd. We're coming to you live from our, well, in my case, my bedroom, our living rooms, wherever we may be. And we are broadcasting on Facebook and Twitch right now, but you can also pick us up on the Project Nerd podcast feed. Happy to have you here. If you're not familiar with The Last Word, let me give you a breakdown of how this works. We got four contestants, which I'll introduce here in just one second, competing for The Last Word. The rules are simple. I make them up as we go. That's how it happens here. And basically what's going to go is they're going to answer each question I ask them. I'll give them points on what I think their answers are good. Could be right on if I disagree, no points. I take away points if I want to, whatever it is. People with the least amount of, or the person, excuse me, with the least amount of points at the end of each round is eliminated until you have the final two squaring off in the finals. And then the last person gets, as we said it, the last word. So let's get straight to business. Let's start introducing the contestants. Let me bring them in here one at a time. First, we have Dee making her podcast debut, longtime Project Nerd content officer. How you doing, Dee?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am doing great. It's Wednesday night. It's podcast night, so it's always fun. There you go. All right. And we got Corey, longtime writer for Project Nerd, educator, all kinds of awesome things. How you doing, Corey? He's muted.
Rookie mistake.
Rookie mistake.
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
It's better that you were muted in the introductions and not while you were answering questions, though. That's always good right there. Then we'll add Andy here, best known for Movie Camp, amongst other things. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I haven't left my basement in a year, so thanks for doing this for me.
We're all kind of in that same boat. And then last and mostly not least, Tyler, also many, many Project Nerd podcasts, another personality on the show. Tyler, welcome to your first time on The Last Word.
I'm just still trying to figure out how you convince me to do this show when the other show we do is entirely about how often the two of us disagree. I feel like I'm not going to do well.
Sounds like it's going to be good for me then.
That's right. So as I explained, we're going to answer some questions, or actually you all are going to answer some questions. I'm going to decide who gets the points for them. So are y'all ready?
Yo, let's do this.
All right, let's bounce in to round one. All right, so lots and lots happening. We'll try to be spoiler free, but we are definitely going to talk Disney Plus. And as we finally get close to spring, we have tons of TV shows popping up. And Disney Plus is one of the streaming services that announced many, many series, including some returns of old titles, some new titles, and of course, plenty of Marvel and Star Wars content. So with that, I think as much as we have shows like The Walking Dead and The Handmaid's Tale come back, again, Disney Plus, I think, is where it's at. So we're going to focus there. I want to know what you're looking forward to the most from Disney Plus, I guess, for the rest of this year. It can be immediate or it could be down the road. Dee, let's start with you.
Great. You know, this was a really tough question because I love everything Disney Plus is putting out there. I am just stoked for all the content. I'm really looking forward to The Bad Batch. I'm looking forward to Loki. That being said, maybe because it's coming up next, I'm really excited for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I need something Marvel-like to fill the void that WandaVision is leaving behind. And I think the dynamic between the two lead characters is really enjoyable. The comedic interchange between the two we've seen previously has worked well for them. We've seen that in the preview. I'm excited that they're bringing Zemo back as the big bad. I think him wearing that iconic purple mask is really kick-ass. And as a friend of mine pointed out, not only is that the iconic comic book reference, but in a post-snap blip world, that color is also kind of associated with Thanos, even with those lines, even the look of it. It's kind of like he's terrorizing everybody, you know, to remind everybody of that terror that they just so recently felt. And so I just think that that is exciting, it's interesting, and it's only a couple weeks away. So that's what I'm most looking forward to. Yeah. Oh, and I'm looking forward to seeing Emily Van Camp kick some ass.
Okay, good answer. Gave your friend some credit though. You got still that credit on The Last Word though. All right, let's go around here and go to Corey next. What are you looking forward to on Disney Plus?
Oh, obviously, Dee's kind of hitting the nail on the head. If you're a Marvel or a Star Wars fan, there's not much to kind of wet the whistle. So I'm going to go, I'm going left field. Growing up, every movie with an animal in it was my jam. So Turner and Hooch is getting a launch in July on Disney Plus, bringing back Josh from Drake and Josh on Nickelodeon as a marginal grown up. Lindsay Fonseca, who is one, genuinely blazing hot. But two, had some roots in How I Met Your Mother, which is arguably the greatest sitcom of all time. So how they're going to come to term with Detective Turner's death and the handoff of the dogs to the son and working through their own awesome detective mysteries. There's nothing wrong with watching a big slobbery dog jump through a window, take out a bad guy or two. And if that doesn't bring some kind of down home nostalgia to anybody that loved those anything Tom Hanks related, I guess I don't know what will. The concern is obviously that it's not Tom Hanks. He carried a lot of that movie. But I think that Peck's got some stuff that he can do. And if you have an awesome animal character who can carry the weight, there's no reason to rest on a show like Turner and Hooch, bringing back some good old cop mystery.
All right. Good answer. Andy, what are you thinking?
You know, I thought going third that it would be said before now, but like Loki's clearly the answer here. I mean, you guys are definitely, you know, for Falcon and Winter Soldier, awesome, looks super exciting. It's going to be kind of more standard Marvel fare, though, kind of back to the norm, I think, a little bit compared to what WandaVision was. Tom Hiddleston is the best actor that will be acting in a Marvel thing this year, probably, right? I mean, this guy he's on fire in everything he does. Everybody's looking forward to Loki. It's June 11th. So we've got a time to wait for it, got a time to build it up a little bit. So I think Loki is the right answer. I didn't expect actually Loki to make it this long. So I want to give a good shout out to the Mighty Ducks show that's coming on soon. If you have not watched that trailer, I got emotional with the trailer part. And Emilio Estevez definitely is rounding out both talent-wise physically and emotionally like his dad. I mean, he looks like his father at this point. And I think that show is going to be, I just really think it's going to knock it out of the park, and it's going to be one that we're not expecting to be great, but that we'll all end up texting each other about how much we cried during the episode that we just watched.
All right. A pair of answers there, Tyler, he might've stolen yours. What do you got for us?
I mean, both my first and second choice were stolen, so I'm gonna have to go third. I do want to just say for the record though, Agent 13, Sharon Carter, Emily Van Camp finally getting her due is a big deal. I also have to correct Andrew. We're talking about best actor or actress to act in a Marvel thing this year. Don't disrespect Catherine Hahn right now. She's killing it. I don't know that anything can top WandaVision. But because my one and two were taken, I'm going to have to go. I also, Loki is Michael Waldron's the showrunner. He's done everything from Rick and Morty to Harmon Quest. So like that's fantastic. But I got to go nostalgia factor here because sometimes some crimes go slipping through the cracks. Chip and Dale. It's not Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. I get it, but I love Chip and Dale. So let's go classic, old school Disney, Chip and Dale getting a show that'll hopefully fill the void that I'm losing with the new DuckTales finally getting canceled. I loved it so much, and it is gone now. Well, I mean, almost gone. The last season is airing right now. So I guess I gotta hang all my hopes on Chip and Dale.
All right. Fair enough. All great answers. I'm happy about all those shows. So everybody's awarded 1 point for their answer. D gets a bonus point for giving credit to the friend. And we also get a bonus point we're going to go with Andrew Adair. Mr. Andrew Adair gets the bonus point for the Mighty Ducks one there. Tyler, I thought you could agreed with him on there. I'm giving it to you. The series looks terrible.
I deserve points for Catherine Hahn though. So
okay. Got one. All right. Question two. It's official. Comic-Con International this past week has announced that San Diego Comic-Con will be online only for 2021 with quarantine guidelines in Southern California, obviously still uncertain come this summer. With this being the largest show in North America, largest comic show in North America, it's likely to set a precedent for many of the other larger shows across the country. Is announcing this decision this early the right way or the right thing to go about it? And more importantly, when are we going back to conventions, guys? So give me, is this right now? Let's get it done. Let's shoot for online. Or should they have waited? And then, like I said, part B, give me your estimated date of when we're getting back in the convention scene. We'll go with you first, Tyler, this time, since you had to go last on the first question.
Yeah, I mean, I have to come out and say that it is 100% the right move. We played this game last year where we had tickets, we had booths, we had money tied up and travel arrangements and so many different cons. And then at the last second, you got to cancel this and get out of that. And obviously, it was untested waters at that point, but and people are more prepared for last minute changes and travel and things like that. But when it's all said and done, like getting out ahead of this is the best thing to do. And it's, I'm glad it's them. Like Comic-Con International setting the stage is going to keep other, I think some of the smaller or even some of the bigger ones from maybe, you know, stepping or trying to do this when they don't need to. When San Diego calls it off, you don't feel as bad about it. Granted, we know a lot of people in the con world, most of these things were one bad day of a show away from being underwater. Not having a show for 2 years is going to, when we finally get back to cons, which I would say best case scenario, summer of next year, like would be maybe the best case scenario for like cons being back in full force. There's going to be a lot fewer cons, I think, come summer 2022, because most of these things I don't think are going to, I mean, starting back up, get new sponsors, find money. I think there's going to be a demand for it. So I think that it's going to work, but I would be surprised if we see them back. I say that I'm still holding out hope that maybe some version of Gen Con is going to happen this year, but what do you know?
I don't know. Strong answer. Mr. Andrew Adair, you want to give us your thoughts on the matter?
Yeah, I hate agreeing with somebody that I'm trying to beat in a game, but he is correct. This is 100% the right move, right? I mean, you have, like you said, it's the biggest in the world, and you have a lot of moving parts, you know, not just in the California area, but across the country and across the world. And when you're planning something that big, I mean, there's just no way to say like, hey, we're going to do it, but there's a chance we might not. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can't refund and you can't change your plans on. And so I think canceling is 100% the right decision. Now, as far as when we're going to see cons again, I mean, we're going to see cons this year. There will be conventions this year for sure. You know, Texas, they don't give an F about what they got going on. So they're opening that state back up. And I know for sure that there's going to be some conventions opening there. You know, we don't know what they are going to be right now, but they're for sure going to open. And then I think, you know, there's opportunity maybe for some smaller, maybe safer conventions to happen too. So that, you know, I don't think that the con season is completely destroyed. Just hopefully somebody steps in and kind of makes it a more COVID appropriate kind of a setup or an event. I can definitely see that happening this year for sure. But 2022, next summer, it will be when we really fully get back to cons. And I don't see anything major prior to that.
All right. Corey, what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, that's a lob. I think that's the absolute right call. Shut it down now. We're just not ready yet. And contrary to Texan beliefs, we're just not at the place now where we can safely hold events of that size. It doesn't make it right. I mean, none of us feel right about it. It just is the right call. I think it's a good idea to look forward to summer 2022, but to agree with Andrew, because man, he has some logic on the competition part of this. There are going to be cons happening. There was one just a month ago here in Nebraska that they held an anime con in Omaha, and it took everything I had not to get tickets for the kid and I. So for the kid and myself to go, but it was the right thing to do. So I think it helps, like Tyler was talking about, big booths. They don't have to fork out the travel cash and then be out. They don't have to put up and set up large displays or even go through the design process for large displays. They can pump all that money into digital content for the online version, which, by the way, is probably going to be pretty exciting. All of the same content, just fewer of the smells, which I think is probably pretty exciting for many people. We might get out of there at a reasonable hour and everything. So it's the right call. Comic-Con.
And we can get drunk at home too.
That's right. It's a little easier, cheaper for sure. California beer. We get lucky when it's $11 beer night. So that's a discount. So we get to do it at home and really still take advantage of all that awesome content. Next year is probably the safest bet for large cons. I like a little bit of what Tyler was saying about kind of it might pick off some of the smaller cons, but I think what that'll do is it'll allow them to reorganize. I think the reorganization to content areas, topic areas, and interest groups might come back with some power, with some gumption. So that's it. That is exciting to look forward to. I think that's probably even further down the line, probably 2023 after a after a short kind of ramp up in 2022, but we'll see where it all takes us.
All right. Dee, why don't you put some icing on this SDCC cake?
I mean, I don't have a lot to contribute that hasn't already been said. I 100% agree with their decision to, go virtual this year. Anyone who's had a nasty case of con crud knows how easy anything can spread at a convention. Even if they were able to somehow socially distance on the inside of the convention center, the outside of the convention center is a circus. I mean, people who aren't part of the convention come down there to be part of everything, and that would certainly not be something that they could stop or socially distance. So it was the right call. I'd say at minimum summer 2022. Personally, I don't know if I'll travel for a convention before 2023. It really just depends on what things are looking like. And, you know, I just don't know. It's strange how everything's kind of laying out. I would never have estimated by this at this point last year how things would have gone down. So I do hope to at least attend our local conventions by 2022.
Definitely. Definitely. Great points all across the board. I think I'm in agreement with everybody here too. So everybody gets at least a point for answering the question. As you're right, I think this not only sets the tone, but online content from SDCC is already so great anyways. How much of us get so much entertainment out of it when not going? Might as well just get straight to it and focus. Bonus points, this question go to both Corey and Andrew for the slam on Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for knocking on my home state there. I appreciate it this time around. All right. We're at the end of round one, and it's close. It's close. I'll give the information that Mr. Andrew Adair is in the lead, and these points do carry into round two. Very tight on the end, but Tyler, you know what? You called it. I'm going to have to say, we're going to have to let you go at the end
rigged.
Of this round.
This is rigged. I'm never coming back again.
There we go. Well, they get to hear your voice all the time, and they can check you out every other Wednesday on Versus. Tyler will definitely put some hard questions in there to get into some good fights with me now that I knocked him out in the first round. So, all right.
Coming for you.
All right. Let's move on up. Round two. All right. We're heading into round two. We've got 4 points for Andrew. We've got 3 points apiece for Dee and Corey. So it is tight and contestants. So, you know, points do carry into round two. So you guys are fighting for that extra point to catch up with Andy. But we're going to start with the comic question on this one. Kevin Eastman and even Peter Laird have been back working on some of IDW's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series. Heroes in a Half Shell are seeing a huge resurgence. And actually, Tyler and I talked about this last week on Versus. This includes the last run of number 2, which is now the number 1 selling IDW comic of all time. So with Bebop and Rocksteady returning, that's a spoiler. Sorry, you should have said that ahead of time. And the Ninja Turtles 114, we've got even more excitement to get around the Turtles. So question is, can the Ninja Turtles resurgence lead to a comic book resurgence, something that's desperately needed in this dying industry? And if so, let's see. That's the question. Can it lead to a resurgence? Corey, let's start with you.
Yeah. First of all, those two comic books, the Last Ronin that IDW is throwing out right now is genuinely clean. Michelangelo as this dark brooding Ronin is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. As a Ninja Turtles comic book fan, I think it is such a good hot spot to start on. And I think it is. I mean, obviously, the Last Ronin 2 is the number one selling comic book in IDW at IDW. So it's showing its own resurgence at IDW alone. I think that comic resurgence is going to come with the ability to start visiting comic book shops again. I think that small business and small town comic shops and the opportunity to go in and talk to people that are like-minded and to suggest and open up other people to new books and new artists and new writers. That's where that comic book resurgence is going to come in. I think that the reference material posted here is just kind of a coincidence, a great coincidence, great material. But as we're getting back into these shops, that's when comic books are going to continue to take off. I'm a subscriber to the MU, the Marvel Unlimited app. I have the DC Universe app. I just rifle through comics as fast as I can. And there are some really great things out there. We're coming off of the Hulk series that was dark and brooding and beautiful in every single way. We're coming off of Marvel crossover events. DC with their Black Label has been beautiful. That should be kicking off a DC jump that if you haven't read the Harleen DC Black Label, check it out, because that's a reason alone to buy more comic books. They're coming fast. And the Ninja Turtles and the IDW Last Ronin piece, they're incredible, but there's a lot of really good things happening because we've been able to sit at home and draw awesome pictures and come up with awesome storylines and throw them out to human people to consume. I'm excited.
We struck a chord with Corey. He's definitely excited for this one. So, all right, Dee, what are you thinking?
You know, I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I'm excited for all the things that IDW are doing, and that certainly has stoked up some popularity over at that publishing company. However, while I think that is going to enable them to continue to be a publishing company and to gain popularity, I don't see it largely creating more excitement in the comic book industry in general. I think the comic book industry is just going to continue to see a little bit more of a resurgence, as Corey said, when we do get back into comic book shops again, and as we see more local comic book stores able to push out more stock that way. But I think we are going to see more and more go digital. I think people like being in their homes. I think people like reading comics digitally. I think that's becoming more popular. I actually see, as some of these smaller publishing companies kind of go underwater, I see other publishing companies like Penguin or Tor maybe starting to toss around the idea of publishing or working with online vendors and doing more online comics, but I don't see a larger resurgence of comic books coming out.
Okay. Strong answer. Andrew, what are you thinking about with the resurgence?
You know, six-year-old me would be super hype that I'd be talking about how the Ninja Turtles might save the comic book industry. But six-year-old me would be disappointed to realize that there's no way a Turtles comic is going to be what saves the comic industry. I know that it's a good series, right? But whenever I hear about a great series, all the people around me that don't read comics, their first question is like, well, when am I going to see that in a movie? Or when's that going to be a show? That'd be a really cool show. That'd be awesome. You know, so I think people right now are conditioned that comics are basically creating content for us to watch a movie or TV show later. And there's got to be some kind of a connect with the core fans of who likes this stuff that aren't reading comics right now. And I don't know how you can get that without comic book shops being open. I mean, Corey nailed it right there. Like, there's no way for anybody who's excited about comics to really share that with anyone right now. You know, it's just, we don't have that same level of excitement that we used to have. And so, you know, I mean, Last Ronin's good, but you know, do you hear people talking about it on the streets? No, because we're not on the streets. We're at home. Maybe in Texas they're talking about it, right? But here they're not. Yeah, that's right. I'm going back to Texas. I think that if there was a way that they could really move into digital, I think that is going to be the key, because it's like with what they're doing with movie releases. They're going to have a short window of a theatrical release probably, you know, and then get movies into the house right away, you know, 30, 45 days. I mean, I think that if you're talking about, you know, actual physical releases for comics, you've got to have a short window, then a launch into digital 30 to 45 days after, exactly the same way. And then you bump up the rarity or the scarcity of what the comics are a little bit, so that people really want to drive to the store and pick them up. And you got to kind of give incentive. Collectors are crazy, you know, and so, you know, even if you cut off some of the publishing and said, we're only going to have 50,000 and we're going to, you know, it's going to be all online after that. Well, then you might see a bigger push to go to the store to get comics. But I don't see it happening with this. I mean, until COVID's over, until we can get back out into the stores, there's just no way it's going to happen.
Right. All right. Great answers all around. I think that, I don't know. It's a hard one to answer. So everybody's getting a point. However, the points were handed out in a way that Corey gets a bonus point for his excitement there. D just got a straight up point. Andrew, you had a point, then you lost it because you shattered my hopes. But then, because I realized you were making a good point, you got the point back. So it holds. But I just want to let you know there was some drama there with it.
Yeah, sorry about that. My bad.
There you go. Awesome. All right. Let's head on to the second question of round two. And this has to do with some DC stuff that we're talking about and those movies. So we haven't even seen James Gunn's Suicide Squad yet, but Warner Brothers and DC seem to be all in on him and the franchise. HBO Max already is doing a Peacemaker spinoff, and we know Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn was never going anywhere. It's going to be spotlighted, but now the rumors go that it's going to be her Harley and him behind the scenes making the next movie. That is likely what's going to happen for their next project, at least. So is this exciting news? Should Warner continue to hold on to filmmakers that haven't proven themselves yet within their franchise? Obviously, Gunn has proven himself. And is Harley Quinn still the flagship here for DC? Let's see. Who did we... The order here. Well, we'll start with you, Andrew, since you went last time.
Cool. I mean, I think this is awesome news. I'm so excited to see Suicide Squad. I think that James Gunn has such a different, unique style. And I think that WB and DC have not shied away from adult content, mature content with their comic book heroes. And I think that's a good thing, right? I mean, we don't need two Marvels. We want two different properties. I mean, I think DC and Marvel are pretty different comic book wise too. And so I think that that's an, I mean, getting these two characters, James Gunn, who did the Guardians movies, obviously, the upcoming Suicide Squad with probably the, I mean, she's a perfect Harley Quinn, I think, with Margot Robbie. I really am excited. Maybe not. I don't know. Whoever Izzy thinks is perfect is good. Give me an extra point for that. So I think this is a great idea. I think what DC and Warner Brothers is doing, though, is that they're banking on star power, essentially, right? They're saying, like, we want a big director, we want a big star, and whatever happens, happens. You know what I mean? And I think it's working out for them so far, right? I mean, they won an Oscar with Joker by taking a shot like that. So maybe they think that there's a little bit more wiggle room within their DCEU to continue to keep or bring in big time directors and big time actors to keep taking these roles. You know, you got James Wan with Aquaman. I just think there's a lot of opportunity for what DC is doing. They're kind of zigging, it feels like, while Marvel is kind of doing what we expect Marvel to do. And we're not disappointed by that. But I think they're making the right move to separate themselves or be a little bit different.
Okay. D, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, DC does have a tendency to find one director and all their hopes and dreams on them before they've even had more than one movie coming out of the gate. We saw that about Zack Snyder, who seems like a legitimately really nice person and really nice to work with. So it was really kind of sad to see what happened with him in Justice League. I don't really like his style, though. I think they went a little too dark with it. At the same time, James Gunn is fantastic. He's a fantastic writer. He's a fantastic director. I'm really excited for Suicide Squad. I can see why they want him to helm the next phase of their movies. I can see him and Margot Robbie working really well together. I think that she is a fantastic Harley Quinn. I prefer the animated version on HBO. But she does an excellent job for their live action series. And so I'm torn on that. I want to see DC bring in different directors. I want to see them try different things. And I think that they are. I think when they separated out Wonder Woman and Aquaman as separate movies, I think that they did better that way. But I'll be intrigued to see what they do with James Gunn at the helm. I'm not convinced yet, I guess I would say, that it's the right move, but I'm hopeful for them.
All right. Andrew's all in. Dee's getting her toes wet. What are you thinking, Corey? Are you diving in or are you staying back?
I think I'll let Andrew feast. I can't. I still have a sour taste in my mouth from Wonder Woman 84. It just, they got my hopes high and we're taken. That was supposed to be the safety valve. Like, Wonder Woman was so incredibly good the first time. That was supposed to be that was our whoopee to go back to Wonder Woman to cleanse our palate from whatever Justice League they tried to throw at us from what I felt was a very vanilla original Aquaman. And then to come back at us with James Gunn is exciting. Like, make no mistake, he's arguably the best that Marvel's put out. I mean, he's coming in to consult on other Marvel projects. He's incredible. And the cast is incredible. And Margot Robbie is incredible. There's nothing to not like about the movie outside of the fact that DC has let me down too many times lately. I feel like they're chasing the dragon. And after they hit us well with Wonder Woman, they gave us a whelming Aquaman. They gave us an underwhelming Justice League, and their only saving grace right now is the hype around a six-part Justice League movie that has 15 new minutes of footage in a new order. And they put Zack Snyder's name back on it because he did Man of Steel. So I'm struggling a little bit with the hype train behind Suicide Squad. It's my favorite DC comic, so I'm hopeful. But the first Suicide Squad wasn't all that great, and DC greenlit that too. So I like the idea of James Gunn. I like the idea of even the spinoff, the Peacemaker show. John Cena in a lead character for more than one episode or movie is a little concerning, but I guess I don't know. I have a very difficult time right now cleansing my palate of what we've recently got from DC to be all in on James Gunn and the cast that they're going to throw at him.
Right. Strong answers all the way around. Points. You guys get points. That's what it will say. But basically, here we are at the end of round two. But before I announce who's moving on, we do have a comment in there. And just pointing out, since it does involve round two, going back to the comics will be the next vinyl. Yeah, vinyl still exists, but not nearly as big of an industry. Good point. Thanks for the feedback there. Always welcome. If you are paying attention, feel free to jump in and leave your comments, and maybe we'll spotlight you. Now let's get to the point at hand. And unfortunately, even though D is a lifeline and Project Nerd, can't play favorites here, I'm going to have to go with Andrew and Corey into our final round, as their answers and their excitement was just unmatched. So D, we appreciate it. You and Tyler have been great, but we're going to move on to the final round with these two gentlemen. All right, let's pop it out here and head to the last round. I'm sure people want to hear me sing. All right, gentlemen, points are reset. We're back to square one. We're going to start right out the gate again here. This time we're talking about reboots, relaunches, and all the re's that we always have been dealing with, it seems like, for the past decade plus. But Michael C. Hall has hinted at a new Dexter episodes. We have Frasier coming back to Paramount Plus, and the aforementioned in round one, Disney's Mighty Ducks and others as well. And then obviously something I am kind of excited for is Matrix 4 this winter. So it's remake, relaunch, reboot, everything, all like that. So I think we need some original ideas, guys. So I feel like for the final question, I want to hear some original ideas. So what I want for you to do, and you can do it in a mocking way or not, I want you to pitch me an original series with the best series earning the point here. Andrew, you had the lead coming into the final round. So Corey, you'll go first and Andrew will defend.
All right, so an original series doesn't have to be an original screenplay. I need the Howard the Duck family drama. Very breaking the fourth wall, Modern Family style, with Howard, family, ducklings in tow. And I really wanted to revolve around his idea of what it was like to really launch into the new world, the post-blip world. It is an MCU show. He comes out to fight. I don't know if you saw that. People have been kind of picking that up now, the little snapshot of him coming through the portal in Endgame. And I want that to be the only thing. It starts right there. He turns right back around and walks out of the battle, leaves it be, goes back home, hangs out with Mama Duck and kids, and just talks about their day. The awful neighbor. What's awesome about that is we get incredibly awesome cameos from all the heroes that saw him next to him. And then we're like, where'd you go, Hal? I think a Howard the Duck original television show, Modern Family style, is the next great thing that we never knew and never thought we'd need.
All right. Andrew, what are you thinking? Let's move you up to the top here and get an answer from you.
Well, I want to apologize to Iggy on behalf of Corey, since he gave you a piece of existing IP and that was not original. So although I would day one be watching that show because that sounds awesome. So great idea. I'm in on that. So my pitch is basically 10 episode Netflix series. It could be limited, could be a full run, whatever you want to do, more seasons. But the first season is about a hitman that is not making enough money actually murdering people. So he sells flowers to the families of the people that he kills. And he opens a flower shop, and that's called like Flowers for Something, or I don't know, whatever cool flower name with flowers in it. And it's basically about a flower business, but with this underlying mob story in the background. And it's going to be a hit. Don't worry, guys.
There we go. Who's it starring?
So let me get this right.
My head canon has Clive Owen.
Oh, I like Clive Owen, but you gave Barry a flower shop is what you did. I don't know if you know this, but that show exists.
Barry just, with a flower shop might be a good next season, though. So we don't know where that show's going.
All right, gentlemen, 100 points each for the series because you're both exactly right. I'd watch both of these shows in a heartbeat, like not even hesitation. And I am totally on board with the Howard the Duck being part of the MCU canon too. Fully want that. We're going to give you, I'm going to give Corey 17 extra points for all the creativity and the additional in it too, especially knowing he didn't see any of the questions beforehand. So that was pretty quick on the fly there. But I'm giving Andrew 34 extra points because he's right. He didn't use, I mean, you could relate it to Barry, but he didn't use an existing character and more importantly, an MCU character. We've got 30 MCU series. So Andrew, you're our winner today.
Woo,
on the last word. So we're going to recuse ourselves for a second and let you have a moment in the.
Just wanted to say a quick rest in peace to Alamo Drafthouse. We don't know what they're going to look like coming back from this pandemic, but they just declared bankruptcy and will be closing some locations. Shout out to everybody that works in the movie industry, not people that make movies. I mean, that's tough for you guys too, but you know, movie theater managers and employees, anybody that works at anything related to the movies, it's tough right now out there for you. And Alamo closing is not a great sign. Here's hoping that things really do turn around once we're able to get back open. And, I really want to get back to the movie. So sorry, Alamo, that this is happening to you, but hopefully you guys keep your Denver locations. Selfishly, I want to go see a movie soon. All right.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. And let's get everybody else back in here. We'll close out a great group of contestants this week. So thank you all for joining us. And thank you all for watching us. If you're catching us on our Facebook page or Twitch page, do know you can head on over to projectnerd.com. That's project-nerd.com to check out not only The Last Word, but tons of awesome original content. And of course, you can catch this series on YouTube and you can catch our podcast wherever you listen to your podcast by searching Project Nerd Podcast. Crew, this was a fun episode. I had a great time. Andrew, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The Wall of Champions. The rest of y'all competed admirably. Wow, I can't even speak. So you all get bonus points here at the end because I'm failing. But that's it for our show on The Last Word. For everybody here, till next time.
Bye.
Bye.